album isn't finished yet. I've got to perfect them.
Why couldn't I have fallen in love with a nice, simple butcher or baker?
Honey, you're just in love with the idea of being in love. Now button those ruby lips until we finish this job.
Even when you call me honey, you make it sound so medicinal.
Finally, after hours of painstaking work. Now we have estimated everything correctly. Swallowing this capsule should increase my height to exactly 12 feet.
I feel like the innocent assistant to a mad scientist in an old-time horror movie.
Exactly 1 millisecond after swallowing the capsule. Hi, Shorty. It worked perfectly.
Congratulations, big man. Big man.
And from now on, Dr. Henry Pym will fight crime in the costumed identity of the super strong 12-foot tall Giant Man. The first foe that Pym encounters as Giant Man is the other dimensional menace known as the Living Eraser. Pym and the Wasp outwit and outfight him. The Eraser has not been heard of ever since.
Hi, I'm Martin R. Howell for CKUW 95.9. I'm reading you a comic book. This is Comic Book Radio Theater. Now let's get back to our story.
Recently, the incredible Super Strong Hulk joined Thor, Iron Man, Ant-Man, and the Wasp as a founding member of a new superhero team called the Mighty Avengers. But then, the alien Space Phantom sees the Avengers as an obstacle to his race's planned invasion of Earth. To turn the Avengers against each other, he turns himself into a duplicate of the Incredible Hulk. The Hulk's confidant, Rick Jones, is astounded to watch the Phantom's transformations. The Phantom's power exiles the real Hulk to a dimension of limbo. As long as the Phantom is impersonating him. As the Hulk, the Space Phantom steals Tony Stark's new anti-missile gun, leading to a battle between Iron Man and this supposed Hulk. Phantom. Then lets the real Hulk return from limbo and face Iron Man's wrath. Giant Man breaks up the fight, but the tension between Iron Man and Hulk still continues.
You go off pretty easy. You got off pretty easy that time, Shellhead. But if you ever cross me again...
Quiet, you brainless gorgon. Didn't you hear the wasp? She's hypersensitive to certain stimuli, and she senses trouble. 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 What the wasp senses is, of course, the presence of the Space Phantom, who now copies Giant Man's form, exiling him to limbo. But the Hulk and Wasp see the Phantom do this, and the Hulk attacks the alien spy. And the rest of the team, the Space Phantom, next copies the form of Iron Man. But he proves to be no match for the power of Thor and is soon defeated.
Behold how the fury of the storm is mine to command. See how the very elements obey my wills.
The Space Phantom returns to limbo, and Iron Man comes back to Earth. But the Space Phantom has partly succeeded in his goal. After all, there is dissension that surrounds the Avengers.
It is strange for the most of our battles. Thought we were fighting each other, and we never suspected.
I never suspected how much each of you hates me, deep, deep down. I could tell by the way you fought me, by the way you made remarks about me. Well, I don't need any of you. I'm still the Hulk. I'm still the strongest thing walking the earth.
Thank heavens he's leaving. He terrified me.
Perhaps he did, Wasp. But he'll be more dangerous than ever now. Without the Avengers to keep him in check, what will he do next?
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 And so, it is that the Hulk, who nearly won public acceptance as a member of the heroic Avengers, returns to a life of being an outcast. Yes, indeed, as we shall soon see. The Hulk will quickly become not a hero, but a dangerous threat to the world. To the world.
This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM out of the University of Winnipeg. You have just listened to a condensed version of, a condensed reading of Avengers number 2, November, the year 1963.
Just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other boys.
This is Jonathan Richmond, and you're now listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
That summer feeling, when there's things to do.
It won't be long,
sitting all on my own. take it easy, baby. I worked all day and my feet feel just like lead. You got my shirt tail flying all over the place and the sweat popping out of my head. She said, hey, bossa nova, baby, keep on working, for this ain't no time to quit. She said, go, bossa nova, baby, keep on dancing, I'm about to have myself a fit. Bossa nova, bossa nova. I said, hey, little mama, let's sit down and have a drink and dig the band. She said, drink, 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 oh, fiddle-de-dink, I can dance with a drink in my hand. She said, hey, bossa nova, baby, keep on working, for this ain't no time to drink. She said, go, bossa nova, baby, keep on dancing, cause I ain't got time to think. Bossa nova, bossa nova. Come on, baby, it's hot in here and it's oh so cool outside. Hey, if you lend me a dollar, I can buy some gas and we can go for a little ride. She said, hey, bossa nova, baby, keep on working, for I ain't got time for that. She said, go, bossa nova, baby, keep on dancing, or I'll find myself another cat. Bossa nova, bossa nova. Bossa nova.
Okay, how you doing? It's like 20 minutes after 4, something like that. CKUW 95.9 FM, we're here late at night for you. Hope you're doing really good. Hope you're having fun. Yeah. Be having fun listening to comic books being read to you, and some of the music is awesome that we're playing there throughout the whole night. Whatever you're into, hopefully you're into it. All right, I'm gonna read you another comic book. Which one? You know what? Maybe let's stay in the same kind of time frame. How about X-Men? You want to hear how the X-Men all started out? X-Men number one. How about that? That's what we'll do there. Yeah. That'll be fun. Okay, so that'll be great. Okay. Yep. Do I need to set up my keyboard anymore? A little bit. Yes, I do. Okay, yes, I do. All right. I'll go get a song, and then I will continue comic book radio theater. We do this late at night, Saturdays, CKUW 95.9 FM. Yep, this happens in Winnipeg. That's right. That's right.
Let's have a drink. Back when the wallet hit your great-grandfather and wrote letters of apology to all of those families of the men who could let you hold. Hunted to this dead by the land of the coast. Lie, you rival great-grand that came back from one year, transformed into a derogated by the man. Never spoke of the slaughter. Brought you into hell.
Kyle, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Perfect.
Yes.
Like Charles Xavier, Magneto wants to protect mutants from prosecution by humanity. But at this time, Magneto believes that he can do so only by subjugating humanity to the rule by mutant kind, led by himself. Now Magneto makes his first public attack on humanity to demonstrate his vast magnetic powers. He uses them against a missile launched from the military base at Cape Citadel, which holds many of America's most formidable weapons. I can feel that irresistible waves of pure magnetic energy surging from my body. Now, by exerting every iota of power, I can direct that energy upwards, until it strikes at that speeding missile, causing it to change direction, to falter, to lose altitude, to be completely destroyed. Magneto continues to use his incredible powers to wreak havoc at Cape Citadel from afar, and then, with the base in total chaos, an ominous message appears in the sky, created from small metallic particles held together magnetically. And the message reads, "Surrender the base, or I'll take it by force." Signed, Magneto. But the government and the military do not surrender. And Magneto simply walks onto the base and uses his incredible powers to capture it effortlessly. Hundreds of miles away, at Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters, is his four male mutant students, blissfully unaware of these developments at Cape Citadel. They are more fascinated with their newest classmate. She is Jean Grey. And Jean Grey, who has just put on for the very first time the costume she will wear as Marvel Girl. Jean is not yet aware of her highly appreciative audience.
Jean Grey, in her new X-Men costume, is looking into a mirror. She is thinking to herself.
Whoever designed this uniform could have given Christian Dore a run for his money.
The other X-Men, the guy X-Men, they are peeping around a corner, staring at Jean Grey.
Where did that new doll go? Oh, there she is!
Woo-wee!
Looks like she was poured into that uniform!
No one would guess that these four normal-looking teenage boys are really super-powered mutants. There's the blonde, Warren Worthington. He binds his wings beneath his clothes with a harness. And then there is Scott Summers, Cyclops. He wears ruby quartz glasses that hold back his powerful eye beams. And here is Hank McCoy. His suit somewhat conceals the beast animal-like build. And while, at this time, Bobby Drake covers himself with snow while he goes into action as Iceman. Professor X himself has telepathic powers that enable him to communicate with his students mentally.
Attention, X-Men. This is Professor Xavier. Report to my study immediately. You have 15 seconds to do so. No excuses will be tolerated.
Whoa! Did all of you receive that metal blast?
And how? It sounded like a trumpet's blare. Now let's go!
Go! Go! Go!
And soon, Professor Xavier gives the five young X-Men their first mission as a team. A crisis has occurred at Cape Citadel, which leads me to believe the very first of the evil mutants has made his appearance. This will be your baptism under fire. You are to go to the Cape Citadel and defeat him. And by this time, Magneto has used his powers to seal off the military base from the rest of the world. And a short time later at the Cape Citadel.
Firing! Cease! It's useless! We haven't anything in our arsenal that will penetrate Magneto's magnetic force field!
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, the army leaders find Cyclops of the X-Men in their midst.
To all intents and purposes, he's in full control of the installation, while we're on the outside looking in.
With all due respect, General, I represent the X-Men. Perhaps we can help.
The X-Men what?
And with no other options available, the General allows the X-Men to try their hand, unleashing tremendous power. The young mutants blasts through Magneto's barrier.
Now, I'll switch to maximum power. I can only maintain this pressure for only a few seconds, but... I did it! I'm through!
Behind that force field, the natural energy feedback weakens a startled Magneto. Some power is attacking me. Some power as superhuman as my own. And thus alerted, Magneto soon confronts the X-Men for the very first time, beginning with the Angel.
There he is! I found them! X-Men, attack!
Attack! Attack!
Wrong!
Attack!
You flying little fool, it is Magneto who has found you. See how easily I can stop your flight by magnetically hurling every nearby object which is not bolted down.
Don't congratulate yourself too soon there, Magneto. See how easily I can remove your magnetized junk with my eye energy beams.
The battle between the X-Men and Magneto rages on. Neither side managing to defeat the other. Magneto realizes that even though the X-Men opposes plans for conquest, they too are mutants. Infuriated, Magneto magnetically hurls a flaming fuel tank at Iceman and all the others. Not all those with mutant powers are fit to rule the Earth. You must be destroyed!
You must be destroyed! You must be destroyed!
Heads up, X-Men! Here comes trouble!
Here comes trouble!
Here comes trouble!
The blazing tank suddenly erupts in a blinding, earth-shattering explosion! And when the smoke clears, the X-Men seem to have been obliterated from existence. But then, the startled Magneto learns just how resourceful his young adversaries are.
That beam! That beam from beneath the ground! What does it mean?
It means you're finished, Magneto! Cyclops created a tunnel for us to get under the blast with his energy eye beams, saving us from the impact. And now, we'll get you!
We'll get you! We'll get you! We'll get you.
unprepared for battle, both the X-Men, with both the X-Men and the armed forces, Magneto decides to abandon the missile base.
You haven't defeated me yet. I can still escape you, flying by means of magnetic repulsion.
Ugh! Ugh! He created another magnetic force field! I can't fly through it!
Don't worry, Angel! We'll breach it in no time!
Between Cyclops' laser eye beams and Marvel Girl's telekinetic powers, they do breach it in time. But by that time, Magneto is nowhere to be seen. Although the X-Men will face him in battle again in the coming months. Ironically, in light of future events, the representatives of the armed forces at Cape Citadel are warmly grateful to the X-Men for driving off Magneto.
You call yourself the X-Men? I will not ask you to reveal your true identities, but I promise you that before this day is done, the name X-Men will be the most honored in my command.
Thank you, sir. And should America's security ever again be threatened, the X-Men will be back.
And soon the X-Men are flying back home, flushed with the feeling that on this day, their very first mission, they have equated themselves quite well. Professor Charles Xavier sends them a telepathic message while the X-Men are on their airplane.
Well done, my students. You have justified all our long hours of training, all our sacrifices, all our dreams. And now return to me, my X-Men.
This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, the University of Winnipeg. You have just listened to a condensed reading of X-Men number 1, September, the year 1963.
Why does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore? Don't they know it's the end of the world? 'Cause you don't love me anymore. Why do the go on singing. Why do the stars glow above? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when I lost your love. I wake up in the morning and I wonder why everything's the same as it was. I can't understand. No, I can't understand how life goes on the way it does. Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye. Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.
This is Alexander Micklethwaite, music director of the WSO. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
We'll be right back. Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world. Don't be afraid to try the greatest sport around.
Catch a wave. Catch a wave.
Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world. Not just a bit, cause it's been going on so long.
Catch a wave, catch a wave.
Surfing soon, and when they catch a wave, they'll be sitting on top of the world.
Catch this wave. It's my hand saying bye bye bye. Now this show's over. I'm waving bye bye bye. But I'm also saying thank you for joining me for Comic Book Radio Theater. We do this every Saturday night. I start at 1. I try to go to 6 a.m. Well, 6 o'clock in the morning is almost here. Good morning to all. And good night to myself as well. All right, you know what? I'm going to find some music to play. You know what? I found this guy out of Iran. His name is Sparkle. That's all he calls himself. I think his real name is Pizram Isram or something like that. I'll go look. Otherwise, he's known as Sparkle. So let's go check him out. And hey, thanks for listening to this radio show. Thanks for listening to the whole entire radio station. We are very thankful, especially those who donate to us, those who send in those who do those donations. You are awesome. I'm tired. I gotta go away. Hopefully, you are up and going and feeling great about the day that's right in front of you. So long. Take care, everybody. You've been great hanging out with CKUW 95.9 FM. We are the University of Winnipeg.